Mics are live.
Okay. Seems like it's particularly loud this afternoon. So we'll start this work session on two cases, PU-16-775, PU-17-23. It's, what is it, the 20th? March 20th, 2017 at 1:10. These cases both have to do with wind facilities, one with decommissioning, one with lighting systems. And I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Public Service Commission. With me today is Commissioner Julie Fedorchak, as well as Commissioner Brian Crosius. Did either of you have any comments?
I don't have any opening comments, no.
I don't have any opening comments either.
Okay, we'll start in. At the table with us is Jerry Lean and Jack Hsu, and whoever wants to we had a previous work session last week one day and went through some things that we were altering based on comments that were received at the hearing as well as in writing, and some of the things that we, I think, sort of all tentatively agreed made good sense. Have been incorporated, and so this is our first time through the
if I might,
changes.
Sorry, Randy. Before we get started, just to touch base with you on the timeline that you're envisioning for this.
I'm kind of doubtful that we will have this ready by our next meeting, which would be 9 days from now on Wednesday. What would that be, the 29th? Mm-hmm. So I'm very hopeful, though, that we would have it ready for the next meeting after that, or maybe even be able to have a short special meeting in the interim, because, we've worked on it a long time, and I think we've heard most things multiple times.
Right.
As we used to say down in the Senate, sometimes you get to a point where everything's been said. The only thing is not everybody said them.
Yeah.
We're probably getting close to that point, but I think we did certainly get good comments in the hearing, and now I think it's a matter of building it into the rules. So, but we'll probably need, you know, at least one more work session after this yet.
Okay.
I believe.
that's good, because I have one more piece, and I'll just throw it out there now, and we can go through the other stuff. But in terms of the rating agencies and that information, I have contacted I struggled to come up with the right source for information on to help guide myself and hopefully you guys in terms of third-party information relating to how the bond rating agencies set their standards and what they mean and how they apply here. And I finally settled with the State Investment Board, the Chief Investment Officer for the State Investment Board, who advises on all the state investments. I visited with him, and he is going to give me, by the end of this week, a kind of put together a one-pager on what credit ratings mean and how they relate to default and mechanisms for accommodating if you go with a lower rating, what some alternatives in the financial world are to reinforce it with other tools. So just to throw some additional options and some more substance on the table from a third party that is not advocating for a position like the companies are in this case. I mean, I appreciate the companies advocating on that and sharing with us what they think is reasonable. I just wanted to have a little bit more perspective from an expert that isn't involved to help assure me that I have what it needs to make a good decision on that. Because it seems to me as one of the big sticking points still from the industry side on what's being proposed, and I want to make sure we're making the right decision there. So by the end of this week, I should have that well in advance of the next work session that we would. Yeah,
so we'll probably try and have a work session sometime next week. I continue to feel that the bond ratings that we already require for the areas where we oversee potential reclamation have worked well around the country for a long time and provide the level of certainty that I could feel comfortable with. But that'll work out well, because we won't be able to get to the next stage of this after today for the next work session anymore this week.
Right.
So next week will work fine.
And then if we meet the requirement, so we wrap it up by the time we have our next commission meeting, how does that work with the other schedule with Legislative Council? And I mean, I know we send it to AG, right, and they review everything. Do we know when that next meeting is that we could be on?
The Legislative Council? Or the
is it? No, Legislative Council. But
if we were to not get this done until that April meeting, which I believe is on a Thursday because we have a rate case scheduled on Wednesday. So is it maybe the 9th or 10th or something like that, whatever that meeting would be? If we had them done by then, they would go to the Attorney General's office for review. I don't know what time frame to expect for them to turn it around, but just like with us, we have to recognize it's nearing the end of a legislative session, and so they're busy too. But the Legislative Audit and Fiscal Review Committee meets in, I believe, early June, and we have to have it approved by the AG's office and to them at least a month ahead of time, is my understanding.
I believe that when we did the last set of decommissioning rules, we got to the AG's, and it wasn't in session at that time, and they actually turned it around about 9 months, and that was comprehensive.
9 months?
No, I'm sorry, nine days.
Oh.
it was 9 days, and that was the first time all these were written. Of course, they may take a little extra time, but we should actually have it to the Legislative Committee, Administrative Rules Committee, probably by May 1st. If we can.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be
with maybe a little bit of wiggle room there. If
I could double check, but I know they'd like to get it a month before they review, which is June 1st.
Oh, okay. So the 13th is our next meeting after this upcoming one.
I'll double check those dates.
All right.
And if we can make some good progress today and maybe at the next work session, if it's fairly early next week, maybe we don't get it on the meeting on Wednesday, but maybe we just hold a special meeting as well and not wait 2 more weeks if there's really no reason to wait.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
So if whoever wants to take the lead between Jack and Jerry, just work through these.
Jerry, you worked them first, and yours are a little bit different than mine. Why don't you take
them? Yeah, and then you stop me where yours change. How's that?
Sure.
Okay. So, looking at the decommissioning rules first.
Is the smaller print?
That's Jerry's.
Jerry's? Okay.
And so nothing was changed on the first page.
Okay.
Second page, we added the construction definition that we talked about. And number three, no, number five. No, yeah, five.
You guys will work out the numbering.
I think I have the numbering right.
Okay.
Yeah, the only thing is when Jack rewrote his, for some reason or another, he switches construction and commission. You know, your four and five are his five and four.
I went alphabetically. I think that's the way they were done before.
I think the point of it, you guys will work out correctness of it. But is there any disagreement on adding that provision? I thought it was a good point, and I'm certainly good with it. Okay, so you guys just work out what order you want them.
Okay, then.
Brian, you got to probably get used to it to just interrupt when you want a chance.
Yeah, right.
Not necessarily going to go around the horn and.
Nope.
Okay. Unless I see you flailing your arms.
Is it okay with me skipping over what we've done, or should we back this up a little bit for you, Brian?
No, keep going. Okay. Yep, you're good.
So page 3 had no changes. page 4, in the top of the page, paragraph 1, and my changes are all in yellow. this is something we didn't talk about, but there was a request from somebody to make it go through the first quarter instead of February 15th, because that's when they put all their data together. And so I thought it was an okay change, and so I made it for April 1st instead of February 15th for the decommissioning plan to be due each year, if that's okay with everybody.
I think it's starting to get kind of on the long side, but I'm okay. I'm not going to get caught up in it.
Long side of the year, or?
Yeah, I mean, we're going, jumping a month and a half here. And
well, it'd still be 12 months, though, once it gets done.
Yeah, that's the thing. If we need them sooner, we'll just look on the EIA website. I guess we can get it there, too. Yeah, that's my point. They have it. I don't know what the big delay needs to be, but it's probably not worth arguing over.
Okay, so the next change is in paragraph 3. We added an exemption. It reads, a facility is presumed to be at the end of its useful life if its annual capacity factor, and here's what we added, absent catastrophic or force majeure events, is less than 10%.
If you look at my copy, I took out the force majeure section, but I changed it to say facilities presumed to be at the end of its useful life if its annual capacity factor is less than 10% for two consecutive years. So that would be 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. But it's less than 10%.
Before you explain why, I just want to step back for Brian's use. The reason I was looking for this in the first place, and this was discussed in the hearing, but I don't want to get to a point where either for some reason someone has lost contracts, or it's just old and dilapidated, and but for whatever reason they're not using it, and it's time to decommission it and reclaim the land. To always have, well, you know, but we're going to do something, and just always be able to put it off. There needs to be an end date, and thus the proposal was, if for a whole year you're only at less than 10% capacity, it's pretty much not being used. And so now then someone in the hearing had asked for, but make an exception for force de jure, some kind of act of God, and now Jack will explain why he thought it's probably better to maybe not go there, but just make it a longer period of time. So go ahead, Jack.
So they were looking to have a force majeure clause, and just in case some catastrophic event comes into play.
Right.
I was thinking of extending it to 24 months, because if there is that catastrophic event, that would give them time to essentially begin working right away to getting it back into operation. So they wouldn't have to wait for any sort of determination. There would be no argument of what exactly a force majeure event is. I mean, I'm not exactly sure. It may not be a tornado. They may just be getting anything out of their hands. Say, manufacturer no longer providing repair parts for that specific type of turbine. They may say that's out of their control. But either way, 24 months, if it's for something like a tornado or something of that type of nature, it give them an opportunity to essentially begin working on it right away and getting it back in operation, get the 10% the next year, and not have to file or go through the rebuttal presumption.
And one thing to notice, though, is they can't begin right away on it until they get approval from the commission that they don't have to decommission it.
Why?
They can't put money into it if you're going to make them decommission it.
But they'd have that's the point of extending it to the two-year period.
Yeah, but I mean,
so they'd have to be worried that it was going to take longer than 2 years to get it back up and running.
Yeah, but if they do fall below their 10% and they want to do the asking the commission to not have to decommission, they need a determination from that before they put money into the project. And I see the point that, you know, with the 2 years, on the average capacity over 2 years, it'd have to be down for a long time.
Chair, I'm not sure if I follow. So why?
I don't either, Jerry.
Why would they need a commissioner termination if they could just get it up and running and get the 10% the next year?
Yeah. Yep. What if they didn't get the 10%?
Well, what if they don't get the 10% in 1 year?
Yeah,
in
I mean,
same
what
situation?
Yeah. But I guess my point with this thing being subject to rebuttal is that it slows down the process of getting the thing back up in service while they're asking the commission if they have to decommission it or not. Or they're asking them not to decommission it.
But that's what the point of the 2 years is, that they would have to, they would have had to been out of operation for 24 months.
Yeah.
And then without, and not investing in it before, they'd have to worry about that.
If they were out for close to a year, I think that might drop them below 10%.
But then they'd have a whole year to get up to the, it's 10% over 2 years.
Yeah, so if it ran, say, 6 months and then blew up, and it took them a year to get it back up for some reason or other, just I'm thinking extreme cases here, mm-hmm. and then you've only got 6 months left in the last year, if for some reason your capacity factor wasn't top-notch during that period, you could drop below 10%, but it's subject to rebuttal. But the only reason I bring it up is that the thought that if they do fall below their 10%, the rebuttal will slow them down, the subject for rebuttal will slow them down on getting it fixed.
Well, first of all, these things cover like 20,000 acres. A tornado's unlikely to wipe out the whole thing anyway. Mm-hmm. And so if a few of them get blown over, they're probably going to go out there and in a matter of days have some interconnections made and all the rest will be still working. I mean, we could sit here and stumble around to where the very thing that I'm worried about, where there just never is an end. There's always something that, well, what if? So we just never will decommission anything.
Jerry, this 2 consecutive years, I think, is almost identical to 24 months of no electrical generation rolling.
That's true.
Previous rules and the way that capacity factor.
That's true. It's not quite the same, but yeah.
You're right. But
I have one quick question. If a facility isn't producing at least 10% or at 10% capacity, just about to the end of 2 years, call it the last day of the second year, and they move it up to 12-15%. Is that a cumulative total, the 10%, in terms of power generation? Or is that, it would be the average? So even if they brought it up to full capacity, if they were running at zero, they're not going to average 10 then at the end. And it would have to be decommissioned.
It's possible. It wouldn't have to be, because then they could ask for a waiver or whatever you want to call it, from that it's not.
Okay, I just ask that. So they don't have a spike of, you know, so 1 or 2 days in the middle of that 2 year term, they exceed 10%. And does that create?
This is their annual.
Right.
Output.
Okay. Okay.
Commissioner, if you actually look at on the first page, the capacity factor under definitions, number one.
Right.
Explains it there.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And keep in mind that a wind farm might be running, when it's running well, at 40-45%.
Mm-hmm.
So
capacity factor. I think there's enough safeguards in here with the 2 years, which is consistent with what we've, you know, it's not a huge change from what we currently have.
And
the waiver option, that this should be a workable definition of, you know, end of useful life.
Yeah, I only bring it up because they had it in the comments.
Right.
So you're comfortable with the two-year
I like option. That. And take just that should cover any of the force majeure events. And if it doesn't, there's still the option for them to come back and seek a waiver. So I think the point here is we have some triggers that will get a conversation started and a mechanism for monitoring what they're actually producing on a regular basis.
I thought just the waivers were fine in the first option, but again, I'm not going to get caught up in this. Yeah. So, Brian, do you have any objection to the
two-year
part?
No, I don't.
And then before you flip pages, there's that one little change at the bottom on how long when that occurs that they're no longer when it gets decommissioning time. That rather than 8 months to begin decommissioning, someone had asked for 12, and this would make that change.
I believe that was based on electric that did that.
Yeah, and we didn't talk about that last time either. I stuck it in here.
I thought we hit on it last time, so.
Did we?
And because it had to do with seasonal, if the tipping point, I suppose, although they're doing these annual reports, so presumably it would be. It would seem to me logical to expect that they're going to be, this would be discovered out in those reports that earlier were going to be in February, now they won't be until April. And so you are entering the construction season, so I really don't know why this is a problem, but I think that in the comments their concern was if the tipping point is in October and it winters in kind of early, you can have most of your 8 months used up before you can do much field work. And so they were asking for a year, and I guess I don't object to that either.
Fine, I'm fine with that.
Everybody okay with 12?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So then I had no changes on the next page. And at the bottom of the next page, we're on page 6 now.
Just give me a second, Jerry, because I didn't have mine stapled, and I went from page 5 of your version to page 10.
Uh-oh.
Do you want to just share?
Yeah, if you don't mind. Desk, but we'll get by.
So we're going to 6, right? Oh, wait. Yeah, that we already covered.
And that goes on to 7. And there, that was our biggest change. I just got rid of all of that and put a new sentence in the beginning of it.
Can you just state where you're starting from, Jerry?
I'm under
decommissioning plan.
Yep. Decommissioning plan, paragraph 1. And I tried to capture what we were talking about, having two different plans, one for construction and one after operation.
So what Jerry did is he broke it down into two different plans. But what I did is I just left the decommissioning plan as is and changed it to prior to commencement of operation.
For what? To file it?
Yes, prior to commencement of operation. It really just changed it from prior to construction to prior to operation to have a decommissioning plan filed. And then what I did was under financial assurances, I just added an extra financial assurance on page 9 for 1 to 2. And so where you need financial assurances prior to commencement of operation, that's the same all the way through, the financial assurances. And then number 1, it says, prior to commencement of construction facility, the owner shall provide financial assurance sufficient, or this probably is, I just wrote it in right before I walked in here, equal to 10% of the estimated cost of construction facility that may be used to decommission the facility in the event that it is abandoned. Within 60 days of receipt of written notice from the owner that the facility is commercially operational, the commission shall return or release said financial assurance provided to the commission.
Where is all that? I don't see all that.
That's on
page 9 of Jack's version.
And so my thought...
Can you start over again, Jack? I felt...
So
you didn't do anything with the construction side of things.
So the first, on page 9, number 1, that is a financial assurance for the construction. And
just a minute. Jack, in like Jerry's version and our original version, because it was originally going to be just one bond before they commenced construction, and so everything was blended together. Then Jerry, in sections 6, 7, and 8, tried to bounce back and forth between the two. Jack completely separated him, said, okay, the construction thing is going to be dealt with over there in chapter, in subsection 8.
Okay.
And so starting in subsection 6, he's talking specifically about the long-term bond, and so just commencing with operation.
So we talked about before that we wanted two separate plans.
Right.
And we would do the first one during construction, and then they do the second estimate after they start operation. That would be the one going forward. I like Jack's better because I don't like us having to set the amount when we could just use the 10%.
Then I'd like to propose we just talk about Jack's first, and if we like it, then we don't have to go into understanding what you put together.
I think the rest of them, I cover Jerry's and mine. And Jerry's an additional, so for the rest of it.
And I'm okay with that, although when we say if we're fine with it, I'm not sure I'm fine with the amount, but I'm fine with
the
format.
Concept.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there may need to be a little adjusting, like moving stuff up to the definitions, and just to make it clear, but I think this is the better way of writing
it
for clarity.
So knowing that, should we start with it in the order, or should we jump to the construction piece and then come back? What do you think makes more sense logically?
I think we can walk through
it.
6909-0906.
Okay.
And it's just there's just one brief change. I just changed it from prior to construction to prior to operation.
Because now the decommissioning plan is something that's separate from one during construction, and it will be a pre-operation thing.
So if I understand this right, then they would need to file their decommissioning plan prior to starting construction. We can make a determination on it after they're running.
After the decommissioning plan? It would
be
prior to commencement of operation. So before they start generating electricity, we already have to have their plan approved, financial assurances in place.
Okay, see, I'd rather that when they're ready to start operation, they have the plan filed by then, and then we deliberate with it or whatever we're going to do to approve it. And that shouldn't have to hold up there. If the thing's ready to turn it on, it's costing them big bucks not to turn it on.
Let's see how it's written. Can we walk through it? And then we can have that discussion.
Good point.
Makes sense.
Let's go through it first.
Is there 10% stays in effect until the new one?
Okay, let's not worry about the timing of it. Let's worry about just the way it's written.
Then there are no changes throughout rest of that. There's still the 6-month period. Under 6909-08, the financial assurances, sub 1, and this still needs some jostling around. That's where I put into place, I apologize, it's a little bit not written as well as I'd hoped it would be since I wrote it about half an hour ago.
On a full stomach.
On a full stomach. this is the part where it goes just for upon commencement of construction. They'll provide us some sort of financial assurance, and I'm assuming that'll be a bond of sorts. And I wasn't sure what amount to use yet, but this is almost verbatim taken out of Trey Wynn's comments. I think it's their supplemental comments with slight modifications. So equal to 10% of the estimated cost of construction of the facility that may be used to decommission the facility in the event it is abandoned. Within 60 days of receipt of written notice from the owner that the facility is commercially operational, the commission shall release or return said financial assurance provided to the commission. So after they get this up and operational, within 60 days, we'll give it back to them.
Okay. So don't bring it up yet, Jerry. Let's keep going.
Okay.
We'll come back to that.
But
on
this part, though, so conceivably, an application comes in for a wind farm. I think they've all had an estimated construction cost that I can recall.
Mm-hmm.
And so as this is written, this would be outside of siting because it's different chapters of law, but that dollar amount that, you know, if it's a $100 million project, would basically be what we would use in this. And while we're doing the siting project part, they would also probably be bringing this to us and saying, okay, we're working on a $10 million project. If that's approved, we would put up a $10 million bond for during the construction time and getting the paperwork approved and bond or whatever other financial assurance they chose. And so those would be, that would, this would kind of be happening during the siting process if they want to hurry things along. So it could, both could be done by the same time frame.
It would make sense to do it that way. However, that doesn't mean they necessarily would need to, but it only makes sense to.
Okay.
This doesn't seem like it would require much. Just the estimated cost is $350 million. Here's a $35 million bond.
It's not very complicated.
Right? I mean, that's, am I missing something? There's not a filing. There's not a, like, estimated cost. I mean, it's just a flat 10% of construction.
They provide that to us.
Yep. So there's no approval or anything. So this wouldn't hold them up in any way.
Not unless you're approving the final one before they can turn the thing on.
Right. We'll get to that.
Okay. So I don't like the 60 days there. I'd rather
that
it said when the final bond is filed, they'll get back their 10%.
Okay. So what else?
And then right after that, that was previously sub 1, now it's sub 2, and you can see the numbering's off now. I just changed it prior to commencement of operation. The owner shall provide financial assurance that is acceptable to the commission and sufficient to assure complete decommissioning. So that's where the previous, you have to have the whole thing, financial assurances for the whole facility.
And that goes back then to subsection 6. That's the one that's
assessment and the decommissioning plan.
So this kind of leads then into the timing issue that we were talking about. So Jerry, I see what you're saying, that if they have 10% of the value of the facility, $35 million on file from the commencement of construction, then that could potentially be used to cover any time period that we hadn't approved the full project until we, you know, approve their long-term financial assurances. So they wouldn't have to wait for our approval.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
But once they make a decision, so in most of these cases, they come in and they have you know, however many turbines they're going to have, and they have several alternate locations, and they maybe have two or three different turbine options that they're leaving open. But once they get ready to start putting anything up, now they've chosen their turbine options and their number of turbines, it would seem to me now they can get a cost estimate of that, and while they're building it, bring it to us, and if they do their job and turn in everything in a complete manner, we'll have this ready to go. We're not going to hold up their operations, and we will have a good time certain to make sure that they get this stuff done.
Suppose they file it and you don't have a decision on it because we're litigating over how much it is.
How much what is?
The decommissioning estimate.
Well, they can give it to us 7 months ahead of time if they'd like, before they even begin construction. They can give it to us as early as they feel like.
What's the risk of Jerry's plan?
Yeah, I don't see any risk.
I don't think there are probably other states.
I mean, the 10% is a pretty substantial financial assurance from the get-go.
Sure. Yeah. You mean for the construction?
For the construction and the first part of I mean, heck, it might be enough for the long term, you know, depending on what the estimate is. But
that might be workable into the incremental bond schedule if that's the way the commission chooses to do so.
So what if they don't have to have it ready by the time they commence operations, when do they have to have it?
They have to have it filed before.
Well,
when they're bankrupt?
No, they have to have it filed before.
We have to have it filed, and we have the assurance in place still, and they wouldn't get that back until they've
10%. Completed. What's that going to do if we have to decommission that place?
Frankly, I think 10% is high.
$35 million.
And while we're on that subject, I passed out some numbers, and these are what we have so far for estimates. And I have to apologize for the formatting. I sent it over to the printer and came straight here with it. But the cost, the first column on the front page is the cost per turbine. Next column is the number of turbines. Third column is the total, that times the number of turbines, to give you the total decommissioning estimate that we've gotten. And you can see the bottom one, next to the bottom one, is NSP's Courtenay project. And it's the highest one, and it comes in at 9.99-something%. So it's at 10%. And
where are these figures taken from, Jerry, the plans that they filed with us?
The plans that they filed. I went through them and took the numbers from them.
So if it was 10%, it'd be simple, and it'd be, it hit even the highest one on here, is what you're
saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. And the other thing I'd noticed, too, though, is that these numbers are all over the board.
Yeah, they sure are.
Yeah.
You've got the 75 on Tradewinds.
So us trying to determine what the number should be might take effort.
That's why we are going to rely on professional engineers to do it, someone with a license kind of on the line. And XL's, I believe that's the one that came from Wansi Construction, right, that actually had someone who would know about these things. I don't recall in most of these other ones really anything other than just saying, here's our estimate.
And,
that's the only one that I can recall offhand having a really good basis for it. And it seems like Wansi Construction should kind of know.
And I haven't looked to see what kind of a job they did. You know, they break them out in this much for this and this much for that, and we could go through and compare what it costs to remove a foundation and all of those kind of things and try and get more.
I think I actually have that one in my under here.
So I just want to make sure I'm clear on what you're saying, Jerry. So with all the construction, 10% of construction costs,
upfront
10%, and then when prior to operation, commencement of operation, they have a decommissioning plan approved.
Filed. Yeah, filed.
So then we can approve it after that?
Yeah.
And then at that point they have to provide financial assurances?
Their 10% stays here until they provide whatever the financial assurance is that's required out of their plan.
The long-term.
So over that six-month period, for example?
Whatever it takes.
Say if it takes, maybe it only take a month, but say a six-month period, that'd be that gap where we're determining whether the financial assurances are adequate or not.
Where the 10% stays in place.
While that stays in place.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then they'd get their 10% back after they file their permanent financial assurance.
So
while we approve their plan and come up with the correct amount for the long term and the correct mechanism.
But in the meantime, if they file something that's unacceptable, then our choice is to either have nothing or the construction bond, whatever our term for that is going to be, because all we've ever made them do is file something.
Keep the
10%. We have nothing to assure that they have to file something that's acceptable to us.
So your
There's
point
no end to it.
Your point is the leverage, we need the leverage of the allowing them to operate, the leverage that provides to get a reasonable and acceptable long-term plan.
Otherwise, if I was them, I'd just lowball it.
Well, they've got you've got 10% of construction costs already, so you have it covered.
So the difference that I'm hearing is you don't think 10% is going to be enough.
No.
That's the only logical reason why what Jerry's suggesting doesn't work. Because that's otherwise, if that's enough, then we wouldn't necessarily be worried about having that leverage against them because we've got protections in place.
That's correct.
And what are you basing that on, though, Randy, that you don't think 10% is enough? What facts or what substance? Because what we have suggests that it is. I don't have any other information that suggests that this is, you know, that the estimate from Excel is inadequate.
These estimates are in today's figures, correct?
They were in the figures when they were filed, and all of them were filed since 2011.
But based on present day cost of?
At the time of filing.
The work.
Yeah. We're not doing a time value of money on the estimate at all.
We're not, okay.
The types of facilities we're putting up nowadays, I mean, we just don't know. There hasn't been any decommissioned. And to be honest with you, I don't even know. I'm sure we can get the information. When we talk of a $200 million project, I don't know how much of that is supplies as opposed to labor. You know, how much of that is just written to the manufacturers. But there's going to be a tremendous amount of labor. The stuff is spread out all over, especially if it's a few years down the road where they've pulled back in the roads that they have to widen to haul things in. Now you have to redo them again to widen them again to haul things back out. And I envision this as being a very costly project, but I don't know the amount. But to just assume because they say that 10% should cover it, that it's going to cover it, I think is pretty risky when we have a responsibility to the people to make sure that this is going to get done.
Is there language in our orders that require or could be added to require them to have the long-term plan finished and completed by a certain time frame within the first year, or, you know, so that this couldn't go on indefinitely where they just ignore us and go along with the temporary financial assurances?
I think we were saying that we would have the long-term plan filed before they can begin operation.
And what if we just filed before they begin operation and must be approved within a certain amount of time?
Well, then you're putting that on yourself because shit's in your hands after it's filed.
Right.
But if it's unacceptable, then what are you going to approve? Frankly, I think if we're not going to have it be done before they commence operations, we're better off just guessing here and picking a percentage of construction costs and ending it there. Because if we don't have a cutoff point to force the issue, well, I don't believe we'll get it done.
And actually, I suggested that earlier.
But I still think it's a bad suggestion.
It's a percentage, and then we don't even have to mess with this decommissioning plan. They just have a bond that's required for it.
No financial assurances?
No, that would be the financial assurance, but the amount of the financial assurance would just be a percentage of costs, of construction costs. Set it at 15% if you want. I mean...
And then are we ever looking at a full plan in that scenario to see if we're even close?
You'd have to write something in for some kind of a... But you're not going to have an actual decommissioning cost for probably 20 years. So you don't have your actuals. Whatever you do here is just an estimate. And so if they get a professional engineer to do it, and it varies from what he had. We're in the same boat as if we just set it at a percentage. The question is, what percentage are you setting it at?
Well, we're requiring them to refile these every 5 years, right? So we're getting updates and keeping an eye on it, which, yeah. I mean, yeah. starting yeah. at year 10.
And my only reason for suggesting it the first time that we did that is it would avoid having to litigate over these things if we don't believe their estimates.
I'd rather litigate over these things than get into a situation where we don't have enough resources to clean one of these up.
You could shorten the approval period of time for the decommissioning, or for the decommissioning plan. And that would allow them more time. I mean, I'd give them more certainty on the front end to know, instead of 6 months, that they'll have a determination within 60 days, yay or nay. And so, I mean, if they went 4 months out, then they have the opportunity to have a second crack at it. Or
where did the 6 months come from? That does seem like a long time.
To run concurrent with the siting time period for approval, to approve a site certificate.
Oh, we've got 6 months.
When we were originally going to have just one process before commencement of construction.
And then they came back and said, yeah, but we can't file a decommissioning plan when we file, because we don't know what the turbines are going to be, and we often don't know that until much closer to construction. All right, so the options are, if you did it, what would be gained by having a shorter approval time?
Certainty that
for them?
That they have a certainty on their side that we'd approve or disapprove of something earlier.
Yeah.
And so it wouldn't happen where they file something with us and then 5 months later we say no.
Could still happen. I mean, look what happens with our 8 months on the rate case and all the other deadlines that we have. If we go over them, we go over them. Good.
That's a little bit different though, Jerry.
Well, my point is that we should not be in a situation where they're ready to go and they're waiting on us.
Well, and I tend to agree with you that especially if they've got a financial assurances on file already to cover something, then they shouldn't be waiting to, you know, tying up all that money and investment, waiting for us to approve a plan that isn't going to be triggered for probably 20 to 30 years.
We could also, usually with an approval requires an order of sorts, and with any order we could modify it, change it. They could request, and at that point they could contest whether our modifications are correct or not, or they could just implement them.
Why can't we have something in the order to address Randy's concern that they won't get us a completed plan or a reasonable plan in a timely manner if we allow them to start construction or start operation, that we've lost our leverage? Why can't we have something? Why can't we create a lever for ourselves that requires them to have this thing in place by a certain amount of time or some sort of other trigger to address that issue?
You mean in the siting order?
Wherever. Siting order or the rules?
Probably couldn't have rules.
I don't think once someone becomes operational, I suppose we could build it into the rules that we can. And just like with pipelines, I suppose we can yank someone's certificate and shut them down. But I don't think we're going to put people out of electricity because we're mad because they didn't get the their bond financial assurance information into us on time.
Well, What about, okay, to your point that they just have to have something on file, but it might not be something that's appropriate. How do we assure that what they file is more legitimate on the front end? We've spelled out what it has to be already, right?
I think what assures us that we're going to get something that's in the ballpark of what they expect will be approved is the fact that they can't commence operations until it's approved. Once we give them the approval to go ahead and start operating, they know we're not going to shut them down. And so I just think it'll be... we'll be left with whatever we had at the commencement of construction in that case.
Well, we don't have to settle on this today. We're going to have another work session, so maybe we can all just think about it a little bit more.
Switching the 6 months to 60 days, you didn't feel improves anything, Jerry? Because the 6 months, I think, as I recall, that really was just worked in because that was the original siting time process. And
it's better.
The 60 days or the 6 months, Jerry?
It's better, yeah. But
which one?
But
60.
The first time somebody's sitting there ready to turn that thing on and we don't have the thing approved and we're telling them they can't turn it on, I think they'll go to the legislature and fix it for us.
Well, that might be, but that also does, though, 60 days. I'm way more comfortable with 60 days than 6 months. And that is also put some of the burden on them to get the stuff in. They know when they want to start operation. They certainly know more than 60 days ahead of time when they want to start operation. So if they have a date and they know we have a 60-day deadline...
from the time they start construction, they're pretty much knowing what they're doing.
Right.
So construction.
I've never heard of these being constructed in less than 60 days.
No. But 3 or 4 months at the least.
Right. So.
I think they'll have, well, before they start construction, they'll have an idea of the layout. What would they need to be doing?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it really, as soon as they know which turbines they're going to use, they can file the decommissioning plan. Because that's the big X factor, it seems like. To them. They've got the roads, they've got all of that figured out.
There might be some small adjustments.
Right, but not, yeah.
Construction and have to move a turbine around or something.
So just to run through these, Commissioner, 60 days is... the general consensus that is acceptable.
If we're going to go this route of having a decommissioning plan, I'm fine with 60 days instead of the 6 months.
Okay, so along with that, the prior to decommissioning plan prior to operation.
Yep. If we have a 60-day deadline, then I think that prior to operation is should be workable.
Now back to the 01, and this is going to get written around a little bit, but. The 10% of estimated cost of construction for the construction phase. Is that acceptable, Commission?
It is for me.
Since we got another week here now, I'm going to do a little research on it, too.
Okay, but as of now, I'll just write it as if that's what we're looking at.
Yeah.
And then,
hold on 1 second on the 60 days. That's from when we deem it complete, correct?
Right.
Yeah. So that gives the staff...
we have a job opportunity to read it.
Yeah, to go through it and say, the clock hasn't started ticking yet because you don't meet the requirements for the... okay.
Page 10 was the next change that I made. 4B1. You see there, it said current rating in the A category. And on the very bottom, if an organization has different ratings among various rating organizations, the commission shall accept the higher of the ratings.
And this is area that I'm still doing some research on.
You added that, the higher of the ratings, because I think they're equivalent at different levels depending on who issued them.
That's correct.
So if you say an A is higher than a A minus, well, I don't know, or a B double A one or something like that. If one company issued a higher rating, it appears higher, the other company might have issued something that looks like it's lower, but it's not really, because they determined it different ways.
Sure. Everybody's A's are higher than anybody's B's.
And I think that's probably true.
It is for certain true. And this accepts any of them. If the highest one you have makes any of the A ratings, even an A minus, the lowest of the A ratings, then that's acceptable.
We were going to do some language in here so that an A minus counted.
That's an A rating. What that is in the A
that's
category.
It's in there.
Higher. A or higher is still the language we got here.
No, it says if you look at in the rating in the A category.
Oh, okay.
You look at yours, not mine.
Okay.
Sorry.
Gotcha.
There you go. I
gotta go. Okay. I'm sorry.
I gotta go too.
I'm sorry. We got planes to catch.
Did you know? I think we're
so
actually, aren't we?
Let's wrap this up and
yeah,
and we'll schedule again for. I just haven't looked at my calendar until next week. I know on Monday we have a hearing, so it's definitely not Monday. But we'll get something scheduled maybe Friday for sometime next week.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep. And if you want to throw out ideas, you know, if you get bored in the middle of the week with no meetings, you can throw out some days and I'll look.
Scheduling ideas?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be in touch.
Right. Thank you.
Good luck. Good luck at MISO.
Thank you.
Where's it at?